The first time I read this text this morning, I immediately was taken back to a conversation I had with my granny about a good 10, 15 years ago. I was at her dining room table, and as many of you know, growing up in a Southern household, that's where most decisions were made. And she asked me questions that only grandmothers could ask. Well, eventually my answer was, for one of those questions, was that I had homework projects at the university and that I just couldn't make it to church 3 Sundays in a row. Yes, it was. Well, for Granny, that answer just wasn't good enough. She shook her head and calmly replied while somehow firmly grabbing my wrist. Now, she had a stroke. Firmly grabbing my wrist to add extra emphasis. Well, I don't want you being one of those backsliders now. So this morning, I'm going to talk about us being doers, not hearers of the word, or in Southern speak, how not to become a backsliding follower of Jesus. Now, the Epistle of James, at first glance, may not seem overly Christian if you read it. In fact, one commentator points out that it is a real stretch to call this a Christian letter. It seems incontrovertible that this letter was addressed to a Jewish audience. But regardless to whom James is speaking, the reality is that holiness and faithfulness came to this epistle and came to this letter and came to the writer. And James addresses it in 3 sources, like a good Southern, former Southern Baptist. I got 3 points. I don't have a psalm, but 3 points. Number one, the first source is your relationship with God. Now, at first glance, we may not think that this epistle of James, and as you read it, is a theologically heavy or a meaty letter. But within the fine nuances of practicality lies good theological concepts of God. That's some big words. Bleh. In our passage this morning from the get-go, we see James telling us that, quote, every generous act of giving comes from above, coming down from God. You know, the reality is that God sends good gifts to us all the time. Amen? God sends us good gifts. Nothing but goodness comes from God. And James assures his readers then and now and reminds us that everything that comes from God is very good. Taking you back to Genesis, everything that comes from God is very good. You know, this makes me think about the beauty of creation and the beauty of the earth. And that even though in its vast complexity of the creation that we do know that there is a vast transcendent God desires to have an imminent and intimate relationship with us all. Why? Because we have been created by God to be very good. But I think there's another point to this. I think the point here is that we are reminded continuously and consistently here that God is love. And there is nothing we can do to separate ourselves or revoke or veto God's love for us. Thank God for that one. So let me tell you, when I came out in 2001, I had somewhat of a rough experience. The religion I held sacred and dear to my heart was full of regulations that told me that I was unworthy of God's love, that I was not necessarily part of God's vision of world love, that I was not part of it, and that those old tapes played in the back of my head so much. Yeah, y'all know, you're like, those old tapes, I got that. Those old tapes played in the back of my head so much that I couldn't believe in a God who would create me, then cast me aside like old moldy leftovers. I told God that I didn't want to be bothered. I told God, you stay in your corner, and I stay in mine. Never shall we meet again. I'll come to you during weddings and funerals. And if there's a homecoming somewhere. But I ain't necessarily going to be a part of your world. Because you have already cast me out. Because of those old tapes. How many of y'all can relate to that one? A-track. I'm going to keep going on that one. But let me tell you, God, who always meets humanity where they are, God always meets us where we are and in the circumstances that we are in. God meets me at an MCC in Durham, North Carolina, where, as many of us have had these similar stories, I sat in the back row. And that first service was just overwhelming with grief, with joy, releasing all of that pain that I've held for 2 years, 2 or 3, 4 or 5 years, that I could walk through the door and it not cascade into me. Y'all know what I'm talking about? My life was changed in an instant because of a church like this. I felt God's complete love for me again. Love is the centerpiece of our faith. Love is the centerpiece of as followers of Jesus. That's where our foundation should lie. And if it does not lie in that love, then something is wrong. Amen. This leads me to source number two. Relationship with yourself. Sometimes it's hard for us to see the forest through the trees. Sometimes we know that God loves. Yeah, I got it. I'm good. I heard it on my A-track. I was listening to the Temptations and it came back to me. People who are good doers, not merely hearers, fully see ourselves as people enriched by God's love and gifts, and authentically live in a faith that speaks meaning or value to you, not necessarily what any rule book would say. You have permission to practice your faith. Practice your spirituality, practice your tradition any way you feel like it. If you feel like standing up during a song, do it. If you feel like holding your hands and holding firm to the gospel and just sitting there, that's fine, do it. But do not cast others aside because they practice their faith differently than you. That wasn't in my notes. When that Holy Spirit hits, you know, I'm just saying. When you practice your faith authentically, as one author would come out, means that true faith is whatever is actually operative in your life. Practicing faith that is not active is not faith at all. I'm going to say that again, just in case you didn't. Faith that is not active is not faith at all. Desiring to have a relationship with yourself means that you're committed to a relationship not only with God, but also within yourself. Cultivating a richness of spiritual growth and development and practicing your faith freely without any barriers, borders, boundaries, or barricades. It's been a couple of weeks. When I was in seminary, I took a class on worship. It was introductory level worship. And now, what I enjoyed about that class is that I looked at the value of other forms of prayer, other than bowing hands and closing eyes, kneeling down and saying words extemporaneously, because that's what I was, again, and it was an old tape, was taught how to do it. And then came altar call, and you had to go down to the front and kneel and let someone pray over you, and everything will be fine. I struggled with that piece because it didn't necessarily give me spiritual fulfillment. It was part of my culture, but didn't contribute to my spiritual growth. But yet, as I look back on that practice, something within me happened. When I cultivated a relationship with myself, I noticed other forms of prayer in seminary and in MCC. And I found that when I sing, that song becomes my prayer. Music relates to people more so than words ever will. Dancing too, but singing primarily. Well, not singing primarily. Never mind, I'm just going to keep on going. I'm going to get in trouble. But see, again, that was in direct contradiction to my teaching. And I was somewhat perplexed by it. Because I couldn't verbally pray as well, I oftentimes looked at the mirror and said, am I doing what I should be doing? I saw inadequacy. I saw resentment. I saw doubt. And I even doubted what I was supposed to be doing with my life because I couldn't pray these wonderful words of wisdom. Have you felt this way about anything like that? So you know what I'm coming from. But the Epistle of James in this morning's countdown video reminds us, as one commentator puts it, we are someone who has been blessed by God's gifts. Someone who has been brought to new life through God's word. A person who is a first fruit, not the last, and that we are set aside as someone who belongs to God. God belongs to us just as we belong to God. To God, you are something beautiful, something good. And you should feel the same about yourself. And when we see something beautiful, something good in ourselves, we see it in others, which brings me to source number three, cultivating relationship with others. You know, right now, we are discussing a book in here in a class called Living Buddha, Living Christ. And it's by an author named Thich Nhat Hanh. And in this book, one of the sections he asks us are we practicing the true teaching? Are we practicing a true teaching? He tells us that, quote, the Buddha made every effort to remove the barriers between classes. He accepted untouchables and other outcasts into this holy community. But then he poses the question, are we doing the same? Are we doing the same? When we become doers of the word, we begin to care for others out of our gifts of giving. We understand that practicing our faith is an inherent need to get involved with the real needs of the world. You know, there's a story I saw on Facebook the other day, because like many of you, I'm on Facebook all the time. When I'm not working. Although, let me tell you something, though. Facebook can be a very powerful ministry. But the title of this small story is called The Pending Coffee. And it was written from an author. He said, or she said, we were in a small coffee shop. Two customers arrive. Five coffees for us, two for us, three pending. These customers pay the five, but only get two. What's a pending coffee, I ask. The barista said, wait and see. More customers. Two girls get their coffee and they pay normally. After a while, three lawyers ask for seven coffees. They only drink three, but paid for the seven. And while we were talking back to the barista, a poor man enters the shop. With a soft voice, he asks, "Do you have any pending coffee?" Do you have any pending coffee? Faith requires that we get involved with the real world. Faith demands that we not only set ourselves apart. We are committed to identify with the world and work with the world, and not to necessarily assume that the world is coming to us. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. If you don't hear anything else from my sermon, remember this. If we assume the world is coming to us and we make that a requirement, this church, our faith, our tradition becomes mute and pointless. When we make that requirement, the church, our faith, and our tradition becomes mute and pointless. So this morning, I encourage you to continue cultivating a relationship not just with God, but also yourself and with the rest of the world. And if there's at any given point in time that you feel that your backsliding is beginning to happen, just remember that your faith, God, and others are just a pending coffee away. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we just thank you for this time we have together. And may you always be just a pending coffee away. May you continue to reach within us, not only to reach out into the world, also to reach out within us. May our hearts connect with you at all points during this time. And when we leave this place, may we know that we have been touched by you. We do this in Jesus' name, and all that is holy, we pray. Amen.